Shrimate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 17, Punishment and Reward of Kali, Text 39. Punash cha yachamanaya jata rupam adat prabhu tatonritam madam kamam rajo vairam cha panchamam punascha yachamanaya jata rupamadat prabhu taton ritam madam kamam rajavairam chapanchamam punascha yachamanaya jata rupamadat prabhu taton ritam madam kriyamam rajuvairam chapanchamam panaschaya chamanaya jata rupamadat prabhu taton ritam madam kamam rajavairam chapanchamam. Panastaya chamanaya tara pamada prabhu arayama vanshama. Vaishnavis, panastaya chamanaya jata pamada prabhu om dam dam om chamam rasaya chamanaya pamada prabhu tatan ritam dam kamam rajavairam chapanchamam punaha again cha also yachamanaya to the beggar jatarupam gold adat gave away prabhu the king tataha, whereby, anritam, falsehood, madam, intoxication, kamam, lust, rajaha, on account of a passionate mood, Vairam, enmity. Cha, also. Panchamam, the fifth one. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. The personality of Kali asked for something more, and because of his begging, the king gave him permission to live where there is gold, because wherever there is gold, there is also falsity, intoxication, lust, envy, and enmity. Purport. Although Maharaj Parikshit gave Kali permission to live in four places, it was very difficult for him to find the places because during the reign of Maharaj Parikshit, there were no such places. Therefore, Kali asked the king to give him something practical which could be utilized for his nefarious purposes. Maharaj Parikshit thus gave him permission to live in a place where there is gold, because wherever there is gold, there are also the above-mentioned four things. And over and above them, there is enmity also. So the personality of Kali became gold standardized. According to the Srimad Bhagavatam, gold encourages falsity, intoxication, prostitution, envy, and enmity. Even a gold standard exchange and currency is bad. Gold standard currency is based on falsehood because the currency is not on a par with reserve gold. The basic principle is falsity because currency notes are issued to in value beyond that of the actual reserve gold. This artificial inflation of currency by the authorities encourages prostitution of the state economy. The price of commodities becomes artificially inflated because of bad money or artificial currency notes. Bad money drives away good money. Instead of paper currency, actual gold coins should be used for exchange, and this will stop prostitution of gold. Gold ornaments for women may be allowed by control, not by quality, but by quantity. This will discourage lust, envy, and enmity. When there is actual gold currency in the form of coins, the influence of gold in producing falsity, prostitution, etc., will automatically cease. There will be no need of an anti-corruption ministry for another term of prostitution and falsity of purpose. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So in the first part of this purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that Maharaj Parikshit gave the personality of Kali four places of residence, and those we learned in the previous verse were the places where gambling, drinking, prostitution, and animal slaughter were performed. But at the time of Maharaj Parikshit, there weren't hardly any such places, so Kali petitioned the king for an additional place, a fifth place, the Panchamam, fifth place. So King Parikshit said, you can live in the place where there is gold. And then in most of this purport, you know, Srila Prabhupada gives some lessons about currency and finance. So, you know, in Srila Prabhupada's teachings, we get everything. We get theology, we get philosophy, we get history, we also get a little bit of economics. And in this purport, he's describing different kinds of currency. There are three basic kinds of currencies, and he mentions two of them here. One is commodity currency, where the currency, the money, is actually the commodity itself, like gold coins. You know, the commodity is the currency. So that's one thing. Then there are commodity-based currencies. And those are currencies which can be exchanged for a commodity. Like Srila Prabhupada is mentioning gold-based currency, gold standard currency. That means you get a piece of paper, but it says on it, the government, the treasury, will give you that amount in gold if you ask for it. But Srila Prabhupada is pointing out that the flaw with that is that there's more currency in circulation than the amount of gold that the governments and central banks are holding. So it's based on a false principle. But in the United States, it used to be up to 30 or 40 years ago that all the currency was commodity-based. You could, in principle, exchange it for gold or silver. You could, in principle, do that. But now this government and most of the governments around the world have what they call fiat currency, which means it's just a piece of paper that has an amount stamped on it, $20, $100, but it's just a piece of paper. So you can't really do anything with it. And the governments and the central banks, they can simply increase the amount of paper money that's in circulation. It's not tied to any. So they can artificially expand the economy and like that. So now they've even come up with another type of currency. It's called cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, and so on. But that's simply another variety of fiat currency, in the sense that there's no value to it on its own. It's not a commodity that itself has any particular value. It's just that a certain group of people agree amongst themselves and they think they have some way of ensuring that it works. But ultimately, it's not worth anything. If the internet all around the world suddenly went down, you have nothing. So it's another key concept that, you know, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning here. It's the difference between the face value and the commodity value of the currency. Say, if you have a gold coin and the amount that's stamped on the coin is equal to the value of the gold, well, then that's actually good. But what happens sometimes is that, you know, like in the United States, they used to have a silver dollar, half dollar, silver half dollar. And it was made of, up to about 1955, 90% silver. So your 50 cents and is the value of the coin, and it's 90% silver, which is a commodity itself. It has a value, so there's some equivalence. But at a certain point, the government decided to make it 40% silver. But, you know, the price of silver went up, and the money and the value of the silver was more than the amount, 50 cents, you know, the face value of the currency. So people started taking the silver coins out of circulation and melting them down. So then they decided, okay, now we're just going to make it some base metal. And basically they're doing that. They've had to do that even with copper pennies. The copper in the penny was worth more than 1 cent. You know, so people would take them, melt them, and get the copper. So then they would just make it some even less expensive metal. So that's what Srila Prabhupada means by good money. I mean, bad money drives out good money from circulation. Like, you know, if you have in circulation, you know, 50-cent coins that are made of 40% silver and 50-cent coins that are made of 90% silver, people will tend to save the 90% silver coins, and they'll use the 40% silver coins to buy stuff. In other words, they'll take the good out of circulation. They'll keep the good money out of circulation. So that's one meaning of the principle that Srila Prabhupada mentions, that bad money drives out good money. That means the bad money with the lesser value will drive out the good money from circulation in an economy. So another way that Srila Prabhupada would use that term, bad money and good money, he said you shouldn't use good money to chase after bad money. And by good money, he meant money that you actually have in your hand. And bad money, he means, he talked about this in a conversation with Rameshwar Prabhu, which was about this very verse. And, you know, he said, bad money is money that people owe you, that you agreed to give them credit. I mean, it's not in your hand. Technically, it belongs to you, but you don't have it. So that's bad money. And people can refuse to pay you or delay paying you. And, you know, Srila Prabhupada said, but you shouldn't use your good money to chase after that, like going into court, for example, and spending money on lawyers and judges and to try to chase after that bad money. He had to explain these things to his disciples. like in the early days in New York, you know, Srila Prabhupada told them, don't enter into any real estate transaction without getting like a contract where they actually set out, you know, what the terms are. And the devotees got involved in a real estate transaction where they didn't follow that. And they put out some money as down payment, and the other party just kept it, turned it into bad money, in a sense, that belonged to the devotees, but they no longer had possession of it. But he advised them, don't send your good money, money that you have, chasing after bad money. So, and as I said, in Srila Prabhupada's teachings, we get a lot of different instruction. Some of it is directly related to the principles of bhakti yoga and the practice of Krishna consciousness, the pastimes of Lord Krishna. And we also get, some practical instruction in economics and politics and things of that sort. But in Srila Prabhupada's teachings, they're all in context. And the basic context here is that ultimately everything belongs to Krishna. Ishvasyam idam sarvam yat kincha jagatam jagat tena taktyena bunjita kasya swid. What is that last line? So everything ultimately belongs to Krishna, and we're meant simply to take what is our legitimate share. We're not meant to be striving for unlimitedly increasing our wealth, which is what the whole economy today is based on. It's meant to enable unlimited accumulation of wealth. You know, there has to be an ever-expanding economy, ever-expanding currency, amount of currency, and the whole thing is ultimately based on a false principle. And we also have to keep in mind, what is the actual purpose of human life? Atato Brahma Jigyasa. The actual purpose of human life is to inquire about the absolute truth. It is to understand our real identity, Jivaras Rupahoi Krishnara Nitya Das. We're meant to understand we are all eternal servants of Krishna. We are meant to understand Dukalayam Ashashvatam, as Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. This material world, the whole thing, the money, the wealth, the land, everything in it, the animals, plants, temporary. The whole thing is temporary. So what are we meant to do? We are meant to try to satisfy our material needs individually and collectively. And the most simple, natural, efficient, and fair way possible, while putting most of our human energy into elevating consciousness to the state of pure consciousness or Krishna consciousness, and become free from the cycle of birth and death. Janma mrityu jaravyati dukkha dosha anudarshanam. Birth, death, old age, disease. An intelligent person will see that that is what this material world is all about. Abrahma bhuvanaloka, from the lowest place to the highest place in the material world. It's just a place of birth and death. So the principle is not to become entangled so much in the material world. We are here. We do have to live. So we should find a way to satisfy our material needs, our economic needs, in the most simple, natural, efficient, and fair and equitable way possible. So, there was a time on this planet where there were civilizations organized in that way, and that's what we're getting here. We're getting in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam a description of a civilization based on these principles of simple living and high thinking. And that means having an economic system that encourages, you know, simplicity. And Srila Prabhupada is pointing out that this modern economic system that we have, with its fiat currencies and things like that, is not meant to encourage simple living and high thinking. It's meant to encourage a very complex way of life so that people who are in charge of the system can extract wealth and power from everyone by exploiting that system. And it's meant to encourage people to engage in ever-increasing material production and consumption. It's not meant to encourage simple living and high thinking. So Srila Prabhupada is just giving one element of a civilization, its economic system, what it should actually be based on if we want to actually have a civilization based on the true value of human life, that it's an opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead. So that is kind of the ultimate context of that Srila Prabhupada is placing this economic message that he's giving in this purport. Does anybody have any questions or comments?
Of gold always was required to have in their treasure the accumulation of gold. They gave value to the gold. But I'm just thinking, how will ordinary people or the citizens will exchange just by to obtain their needs?
There's another aspect of the economy in Vedic times, and that was, and it's also something that's coming back into fashion in the modern world, and that's the barter system, where basically one exchanges commodities. You know, like if you're you're protecting cows, then you can get milk and cheese, and you can exchange that for other necessities of life, like clothing and furniture and other things. So there was also this barter system, and I mean, especially in countries where there's hyperinflation and the currency essentially becomes worthless, like in Venezuela today. You know, there's hyperinflation. That means the government just keeps printing more and more money, and the prices keep going up, and they print more and more money, and now instead of wallets, people have to carry their money around in backpacks because it's worth so little, and they don't even count it in the stores. They weigh it. You know, I mean, it's not, I mean, we may think it's funny, but for the people, it could happen here. It has happened in the advanced Western countries, you know, from time to time. If there's some economic collapse and the currencies become worthless, because it's all based, as Srila Prabhupada said, on a false principle, then people revert to barter system. Like one of the things that they use for bartering, it has to be something, you know, that's easily transportable and doesn't decay. Like if you have some milk, it'll decay, you know, it'll spoil. So they use pasta. That's one of the things that's considered valuable in Venezuela. So you can go and, you know, exchange, you know, a pound of pasta, you know, for something, some coffee or whatever else you may need. So that for the ordinary people, barter system is there. And Srila Prabhupada also pointed out that the idea for ordinary life is self-sufficient, you know, village life. So that if in your village you're producing most of your necessities and you can exchange them among the people of the village, then you don't need any currency or anything to buy anything else because you're self-sufficient. But Srila Prabhupada pointed out that that only works if you're Krishna conscious. Param jisva nivartite. You know, if you're experiencing the happiness and satisfaction within, then you can live a life of voluntary simplicity. But if you're full of lust, anger, greed, enmity, acquisitiveness, you may have to endure it, but you won't like it, and you'll try to get out of it any way you can. And then you'll find some way to do that. So the basic principle, you know, because Srila Prabhupada said, like, they had this idea in communism. He was saying Marx had this idea, but there had to be a dictatorship to enforce it because they call it the dictatorship of the proletariat, you know, to kind of keep things in order. But, you know, Srila Prabhupada said it can't be based on that. It has to be voluntary simplicity, and that only happens when you add Krishna consciousness into the equation. Then yes, then you can live a more simple and natural and self-sufficient life. Maharaj.
Thank you for a very nice class for Durakama Prabhu. And it just reminded me when you were speaking about bartering that we find that even in Krishna's time, when he was just a little, almost a tot, he used to watch his parents do trading with sellers and along the streets. They would give milk products, and for milk products
grains. Also.
Yeah, exactly. So for Krishna, trying to imitate them, he took a pile of grains in his hands, and because he had little hands, the grains kept falling out. And by the time he got to the fruit seller, who was outside, with whom he wanted to make an exchange, there's just a few little grains left. But anyway, he felt that he would at least give the grains, and whatever he could get, that would be fine. But the grain seller was so enamored, so charmed by his beauty, by his loveliness, and by his sweetness and cuteness, didn't even care. He accepted the few little grains and piled Krishna up with some mangoes. For at least that's what the picture shows. So Krishna was piled up with mangoes, and he had only given just a few grains. It was rather an unfair arrangement. However, Krishna, he felt that since he had gotten, as we might say, the lion's share of the arrangement, all the mangoes, and the poor grain seller was out of the mangoes and was just getting a few grains. So what happened is that, unbeknownst to her, in her sack in which she carried her mangoes and her other fruits, it got filled up with all sorts of jewels and gems and what have you. So a very important and valuable point, as you're making many nice points, was made by that, is that whenever you give Krishna anything with your love, and you try to give even more than what you feel you have gotten, Krishna not only not forgets this, but he doubles and triples and quadruples the exchange, so that the grain seller actually had so much gold and silver and jewels in there that she really never had to do any more fruit selling. So the point is this, is you never are a loser when you give to Krishna. In fact, you're always the gainer, and we should always remember that, even if sometimes it may appear that we are the loser. We're always the gainer.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the wonderful class. I just read the news that after Second World War, many countries stored lots of gold in America. And now, many countries like Russia and China, they are trying to take away the gold, back to their own country. So I'm just wondering, how does this, gold related with this modern the economy of this modern society?
I mean, it's technical information. After World War II, the leaders, the finance ministers and leaders of all the nations of the world got together at a place called Bretton Woods, and they decided they were going to have a gold-based currency system. And, they set the price of 1 ounce of gold at 35 U.S. dollars. And that was the international agreement. So all their currencies were gold-based, and the price was set 35 dollars per ounce of gold. So that was the whole economic system. But now they've all gotten away from having gold-based currencies, and everything is based on, they have some financial rules and regulations, but basically the dollar is the main world currency, and everything is based on that. So but again, it's, as Srila Prabhupada said, it's based on a false principle. it's all based on a false principle, because none of the currency is actually, you know, for an ordinary person. An ordinary person used to be able to go and get gold from the treasury. Nobody can do that anymore. You know, it's all just based on the authority of the government. And the government says, this is the currency. You have to accept it. You know, that's the law. If you go into a shop with some money here, some dollars, they have to take it. It's just the law. So, you know, the whole world economy is just based on a false principle. And there are certain people who benefit from that. And, you know, it's a symptom of the age of Kali, basically. So, Srila Prabhupada is recommending another system here. But the basic thing, again, to put it in its larger context, is what is this material world with all its gold, its currencies, its kings, its governments, its society, friendship, love, you know, all the plants and the animals, the rivers, the oceans, everything. It's all ultimately temporary. It's meant to be used in Krishna's service, that's all, because Krishna is the ultimate proprietor. And we should just be taking our legitimate share, which Krishna sets in the ultimate sense. Simple living, high thinking, go back home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.